I wonder if you might pray with me and for me this morning. Oh, gracious God, I pray that the words that come out of my mouth might be honoring and pleasing to you. God, that you would give each of us ears to hear what you want us to hear this morning, that our minds might be open to understanding, that our hearts might be willing to be transformed by you. Come, Holy Spirit, do what you do and let me get out of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, we're starting this new series. You see it up here on the wall. You see it on the screens. Hashtag I am here. You may say, why does it have a hashtag? Well, because that makes it cooler, first of all. But second of all, I am really hopeful, we are hopeful during this series that you might use that hashtag when you see glimpses of the end breaking of Jesus in the world. So if you see something, we really want to encourage you to post something to say, hey, I had a beautiful experience today at the grocery store. Somebody was really kind to me and they helped me and they did this, hashtag I am here. And it doesn't mean that everybody else has to know what's going on. But I do think that we have to raise this understanding and awareness of the movement of God in the world. So why this series? We're doing this series to actually study a little bit of who Jesus said who he is. And I think that's really, really important right now. Because I think one of the challenges that's going on in the world right now is the church having disagreements over what Jesus would do. There was that old saying, what would Jesus do? And the church seems to disagree on what Jesus might do in a situation. So I think it's really important for us to study who Jesus said he was. And one of the places that we could go for that is we could go to the Gospels, which are the first books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we could go to Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We are instead going to go to John. You might say, why John? Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us more what Jesus did, and John tells us more who Jesus is. And we're trying to get deeper into the person of Jesus so that we might replicate what Christ wants in our life, who Christ is. So that's what we're going to do in this series. The way we're going to do it is we're going to look at these famous sayings. Jesus said seven of them. We're only going to look at four of them, called the I am sayings of Jesus. I said it last week in the Old Testament, when Moses goes to God about the Ten Commandments and he gets the information and he says to God, who do I say that you are? And God says, say, I am. That's my name. I simply am. And that's what Jesus uses. Jesus uses these I am statements in Scripture. And like I said, he has seven of them. They're found in the Gospel of John. And what's interesting is when he offers these statements, he's giving metaphors that the people would have understood at the time. And that's really, really important. Metaphors that would have been culturally relevant. He's not just throwing phrases out for t-shirts. Right? He's giving real metaphors, real things that people can hang on to and say, oh, I get that. I understand that. So today we're going to look at the first one. It comes from the Gospel according to John in the 8th chapter. And I'm going to start at verse 12. It says, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Then the Pharisees said to him, you are testifying on your own behalf. Your testimony is not valid. Jesus answered, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid because I know where I've come from and where I'm going, but you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I judge no one. That's a powerful phrase right there, friends. You judge by human standards, I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, which I don't, my judgment is valid. For it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is valid. I testify on my own behalf, and the Father who sent me testifies on my behalf. Then they said to him, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. So I want to give you a little background on this statement specifically, because it's really, really important. Maybe you've heard the phrase, I am the light of the world. Maybe you've heard that, but I want to give you some details of where it comes from. There is a celebration that happens in the Jewish tradition. It happened for the Israelites, and that's where this comes from. The celebration is called the Feast of Tabernacles, also known, you may have heard of the Feast of Booths or Sukkot. And it's the seventh and last feast that the Lord commanded them to celebrate, to have. And in this feast, it was a really, really powerful thing because at the temple, in the temple court, the Mishnah tells us this, and we have a picture of the temple court coming up. In the temple, there were these four lampstands that would be lit at the end of the celebration. And they would be lit by the women, and they would light up so much that they would light all of Jerusalem. I mean, these were powerful, powerful lampstands. People could see them in their backyards. They would fill the front areas. It was a really, really big deal. It produced so much light that you could go nowhere in Jerusalem in the darkness of night without this light. Now, Jesus comes and he says something even bigger. He doesn't say, I am the light of Jerusalem. He says, I am the light of the world. Like, I can fill more than you're used to. I can fill all of Jerusalem. The tabernacle's lights may have lit up Jerusalem, but Jesus could light up everything. The whole world. That's a powerful phrase. Imagine what that would have done to them. They would have gone, no, wait a second, come on. I mean, those lights are powerful. You think you're more powerful than these lights? It's ridiculous to them. Light would have also been a familiar image from the Old Testament. We get in the very beginning of the Bible, the very first thing that God creates is light. And then we get this picture of the Israelites as they're wandering in the wilderness. God comes as this pillar of fire to be their light, to be their guide. So we've got these beautiful images of light and the power of light in the world. And Jesus takes this image, this thing that they would have understood, this thing that would have really impacted them and said, I am the light of the world. Look at what he says again in verse 12. It says, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He says, there's two options. One is light, one is darkness. He says, spend time with me and you're going to be able to see. Spend time with me and you will see the world. Spend time with me and you won't spend time in darkness. It seems pretty simple. Jesus says, spend time with me and your world will light up. Your world will be brighter. You will experience the brightness that I bring. Spend time with me and you will even carry the light out into the world. So how do we spend time with Jesus? We talk about this all the time. Be in worship. Find space with other people. Be in a group here in the church. Study the Bible. Pray. Meditate. Sit. Absorb, be with Jesus. If you spend time with Jesus, Jesus's declaration is that you will be in the light. Jesus's declaration is that your life will be brighter if you spend time with Jesus. Now, it's not just that you're going to receive. We are people that like to receive. It's not just that your life will be brighter, but you're going to have a responsibility to. That's why you have the candles this morning, which we're going to talk about a little bit later. That's why you have the candles. You are to carry that light out into the world. So you receive it, you experience it, and then you carry the brightness of light. How do we do that? First, we have to be countercultural. And there are some churches that would say be countercultural that would tell you a lot different than I'm going to tell you this morning. When we say countercultural, it means that we live in a world that has a lot of pain and a lot of darkness. And to be countercultural, you gotta be kind. To be countercultural, you gotta be loving. To be countercultural, you gotta stand up against injustice. To be countercultural, you've got to bring peace in a world that is challenged. To be countercultural, you cannot sling hate at people. To be countercultural, we must be different. To be countercultural and bring light into the world, we must share joy with the world, because I have never met a person that wanted to come to know Jesus by yelling at him. Never once have I experienced that. So we have to be countercultural, but second thing I think we have to do, we are supposed to point to the light. We're supposed to point towards light. Jesus gives that call another place. He says in the gospel according to Matthew, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Friends, when we do good in the world, and listen, we don't live in a works-based understanding of God's love. That's not what I'm saying. But we do live in a works-based understanding of a world where our actions actually mean more than our words. where the things that we do mean more than what we say, and the world is looking, hoping, longing for goodness. The world wants it. When we do good, we carry that light of Christ. John Wesley, the founder of this movement called the United Methodist Church, the founder of Methodism said, the number one rule, do good. Simply do good in the world. Carry the light of Christ out there. When we do good things, we point towards Christ. We share that love and that light with other people. We bring light into the midst of the darkness. I think it is absolutely impossible, and this might be a bold statement, it is impossible for us to share darkness with the world when we are immersed in the light of Christ. It is impossible for us to contribute to darkness when we are immersed in the light of Christ. But here's the challenge for most of us, and I'm not just speaking about you. The challenge for most of us is we dip our toe in the light of Jesus. But I'll just take a little bit. I'll take a little bit of Jesus, just a little bit, because a lot of Jesus might actually change me. A lot of Jesus might actually transform me. So I'll take a little bit of Jesus, the part that makes me comfortable. I'll receive that part of Jesus because a lot of Jesus makes me do a lot of things that are challenging, that are different than I'm used to. Don't dip your toe in Jesus. Experience the fullness of the light of Christ. Sometimes we do even more than that. We block the light of Christ for the world. Sometimes we get in the way. We say something like, oh, I go to Crossroads, and then we go out in the world and we block the light with our actions. And we cause people to go, if that's light, I don't want to be part of it. I choose the darkness. Jesus says he's the light of the world. Anybody who spends time with him will experience light. And these Pharisees, who are the religious leaders of the time, they come in and they fight back. They have a problem with Jesus. There's no way he can be light enough to fill the whole world. That's ridiculous. In fact, they're already bothered by the fact that he's telling people to do good things. They're already bothered by the fact that he's challenging the law. And they say, what are you talking about? You can't do that. And they get on this whole thing about self-witness. It was not allowed in the time for you to get up in a court and witness yourself to something you did. That wasn't allowed. There was no put your hand on the Bible and say, I solemnly swear I didn't. You had to have someone else witness for you. So they have this whole problem with him saying, I am the light of the world and you just got to trust me. I mean, look at it again in verses 13 and 14. It says this, then the Pharisees said to him, you are testifying on your own behalf. Your testimony is not valid. Jesus answered, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid. Because I know where I've come from and I know where I'm going, but you do not know where I come from or where I am going. I love how Jesus responds. It's hilarious to me. He says, I'm the light because I said so. It's the ultimate parent response, right? How many times have you looked at your kid and said, it is because I said it is? And they're like, but I don't know. It reminds me of our first au pair. One of the first times walking in the house with our kids, she just looks at them and she goes, no discussions. And I said, oh, she's gonna be great, right? But that's sort of what Jesus is doing here. No discussions. It is because I said it is. I am the light of the world because I said I am. And what's beautiful is Jesus doesn't do what I often do. When someone pushes back on me, I give them a litany of reasons why I'm right. And Jesus doesn't do that. He goes, nope, it just is because I said it is. I am because I said I am. And it sort of shuts the whole thing down. They're waiting for him to come and give all these excuses, and he simply says, I am. And then he goes on to tell the Pharisees, he goes, it's bigger than I am. He goes, you're the problem. You're blocking the light from other people experiencing the movement of God in the world. You are the issue. And it's a really important piece for us here. Friends, we can find ourselves blocking the light of Christ. And we can do it because of our ego. We can do it because we have to be right. We can do it because our actions don't match up with our words. There's lots of ways that we block the light of Christ. But Jesus tells them there's one specific thing that's causing them to block the light of Christ. Look at what he says in 15 and 16. He says, you judge by human standards. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is valid, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. He says, the thing that keeps you from fully experiencing God's light and God's grace is judgment. Anybody else ever experienced that? The biggest hindrance is being judgmental. The biggest hindrance to people experiencing that. Now, y'all, that hit me this week when I read that again. I'm like, do I block other people from experiencing the light of Christ? Do I offer, whether it's in my words or the way I interact or the way I engage, do I offer judgment towards people? Do I make people feel like they're not allowed in? As much as I say all people are welcome, do I live a life that does that? Because Jesus claims that you cannot be the light and judge people. You cannot do it. You cannot be the light of Christ and bring judgment upon people. I'm curious, how many of us does this hit a little hard right now? To judge by human standards is literally to judge by the flesh, as Jesus says. What that means is to judge simply by what you see and what you experience is not okay. It's because Jesus' opponents judge solely on what they're experiencing in that moment. They don't get to the depth of who Jesus is. And he says, recognize that that is not who I am. I don't judge. You may have heard this story. I've heard it multiple times. I think it's a funny little story. This young couple moves into a neighborhood. And they're sitting down one of the first mornings, and they're sitting in their new breakfast nook, and they're so excited. They're having breakfast. And they look out the window, and this is something that happens in the country for y'all city folk who don't know. The woman's hanging her laundry out on a line. I know you're not allowed to do that here, but where I grew up, you hung your laundry out on a line. And the woman looks out at the woman's laundry, and she goes, man, she says to her husband, that lady does not know how to do laundry. That laundry is filthy. And the husband doesn't say anything. A couple mornings later, they have breakfast again. They sit down, the woman's hanging laundry again. And she goes, man, that woman has no clue what she's doing. She goes, I've lived with a lot of people in my community. That laundry is a mess. That laundry is nasty. A couple mornings later, they're down, they're having breakfast again. And she goes, she finally figured it out. She finally figured out how to do laundry. I wonder if somebody said something to her, and her husband looked at her. He took his coffee down. He goes, I washed our windows. I wonder how many of us Jesus needs to wash our windows a little bit. I wonder how many of us need to experience the light of Christ that will clean our windows. Because, man, we got some dirty windows, and we're looking at our neighbors and we're saying they ain't got it right. They're messing up because they don't do A, B, C, or D. Friends, when we allow the light of Christ into our lives, it cleans the window and we start to see people the way Jesus sees them. We start to see them with grace and love and welcome, and we don't look at their individual story and say, I don't understand it, and therefore it is bad. We look at it and we say, that is a beautiful child of God, and I can't wait to get to know them and experience them. So this week, I want us to think about a few things. I want us to think first, how are you spending time in the light of Christ? Remember I said earlier, that's coming to worship, that's reading maybe the daily prayer, the daily scripture that comes out, that's thinking through meditation and prayer, that's being in community with other people. How are you doing that? Because the truth is, if we're not immersing ourselves in it, we can't experience it. It's just like any relationship that we have. If we don't attend to it, we're not gonna have a stronger relationship. So I want you to really do an assessment, each of us this week. And by the way, that's not a judgmental thing. I grew up in a tradition, and I even went to college in a tradition, that suggested that if you don't do those things, you're not a good enough Christian. That's not what I mean at all. Please, please don't hear that. because nothing ever gave me motivation like someone telling me I wasn't a good enough Christian. What I actually mean by this is if we immerse ourselves in the light of Christ, we will love more deeply. We will reveal the light of Christ with the world. So do a little assessment. Are you spending time in the light of Christ? Are you spending time with Jesus? Here's the second thing. I want to encourage each of us to start pausing before we post and before we speak. Years ago, I had a supervisor who told me that I should never, ever, ever send an email when I'm angry. That's what the draft area is for. That I shouldn't make a phone call when I'm angry. Friends, start pausing before you post and before you speak. I want to encourage us to think, when we're going to post something on social media, when we're going to say something to someone, is it through the lens of Christ or is it through our own lens? Is it designed to reflect the light of Christ or is it designed to cause pain and judgment of other people? It's really something we can think through. It's really something we can do. And then here's the next thing. The last thing I want to encourage us this week is to note how we're reacting. How do we react to what other people say? How do we react to new people? I think about that silly story of the woman in the laundry. Why in the world is our first thought, they don't know how to do laundry, instead of our first thought, I want to get to know them and hear their story? Note how we're reacting to others. Think about it. Are we being judgmental? Are we reacting with the light of Christ that comes from Jesus? Are we doing it in such a way that it's confusing people because they're not used to it? They're not used to grace. They're not used to love. They're not used to welcome. It's so, so simple. If we reserve judgment, if we don't offer it to people, if we see people for who God created them to be, life will be easier for all of us. We'll navigate it in a clearer and cleaner way. Christ is the light of the world. And Jesus says we have two options, to be in the light or remain in the darkness. And before we receive communion, my question for you this morning is, where do you want to be? Do you want to be in the light, experiencing all the beauty and goodness that comes from Christ? Or do you want to be in the darkness? Because friends, I want to be in the light. Amen.